athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event, then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
It's good to be back with you this week on Box to Row after taking a week off. And let me tell you something. I really needed it. Had a great Thanksgiving. As a matter of fact, in Virginia at Massanutten, those that may know that resort, Massanutten is near Harrisonburg, where James Madison University. So it was there basically the whole week. So it was crazy. So the Sunday previous to Thanksgiving, went up to D.C. for the Commanders and Dallas Cowboys game. As a matter of fact, went with quite a few family members, as a matter of fact. But actually, so let me back up. Saturday afternoon, called the North Carolina A&T football game. I think that way everything is running together. It was against Elon. Immediately after that, left Greensboro to go to Massanutten. It's about a 3.5-hour drive, maybe a little bit more with a stop. Okay. Sunday morning, got up, went over to D.C. It's about a 2.5-hour drive. After the game, went back to Massanutten. Then on Monday, had a evening game back in Greensboro to call a basketball game. Right after that, went back to Massanutten and spent the rest of the time in Massanutten until Sunday after Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving had family come through. It's something we do. It's a tradition. It was absolutely fantastic. We had a great time the entire week. I really got to relax a bit, even though it was a lot of driving early on. I did get to relax, but on Sunday, then went back to Washington for the Titans game, the Commanders and Titans game, and then, of course, came back here immediately after that to Raleigh, where I've been the whole week preparing for this show. A lot going on. The HBCU All-America team has been released. It's report card day. I'm giving my grades to I've given my grades, as a matter of fact, and you can log on to BoxToRow.com or visit BoxToRow.com to see my grades. I'm going to talk about some of the teams and why I gave some of the grades I gave. But look, it's been sort of a whirlwind as things kind of wind down. It's that holiday time of season. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm today in a giving mood. Because over the next several weeks here on Box to Row, we're going to begin to wind things down. We do our annual year-end review show. So this will actually be our 20th year-end review show. So looking forward to that as we replay some of the great conversations that we've had throughout the course of 2024. As a matter of fact, by the way, when I was in Harrisonburg, I had a chance to go to, I had always wanted to go over to JMU to a football game, right? So it was a night game. It was an ESPNU game. I think it was originally supposed to be a 4 o'clock start. ESPNU carried it live, so it became an 8 o'clock start. So it didn't exactly, it was dark. So I just go park in the media parking lot and go to the stadium. But I was trying to get all the nuance and all of the different things that go on. Now, I did have a chance to be on JMU's campus a couple of times. It's a beautiful campus. As a matter of fact, in Harrisonburg, not far from downtown Harrisonburg, which is beautiful in of itself. But I was hoping to get all of what comes with what I thought would be a game day on a Saturday. Now, it was tremendously cold. May have been better, had it been in, maybe September, where Maybe it's a little bit chilly, but not that bad. And in the daytime, nonetheless, good football game against Marshall. Now, I got to tell you, you know, I go to this game. It's Sun Belt football. James Madison gets out to the 17-0 lead. And it's like, man, James Madison moves fast, got a really, really good football team. And so, you know, it was getting kind of late. So I left probably like maybe with, I don't know, maybe halfway through the second quarter, I decided to leave and going back to get ready for my trek the next day to Washington. On my way back, I'm listening to the game. Marshall gets a field goal. And then only I found out later that Marshall won that football game. I mean, it was a dominating performance at the time by James Madison. Marshall comes back to win that football game by one in overtime, thus thrusting itself into the Sun Belt Conference Championship against Louisiana. I mean, what a win. I mean, what a win by Marshall. And I got to give a lot of credit to Charles Huff. You know, Charles Huff is an excellent football coach, and I should be specific, University of Louisiana Lafayette. So let's be specific. Charles Huff is an excellent football coach. I had a chance to listen to some of his press conferences, his press conference after the victory over JMU. Also had a chance to listen to his weekly presser. I went online and listened to that. And he's very, very thorough. And we've had Charles Huff on this program a couple of times. Now, of course, Charles Huff is the second HBCU grad to become a head football coach at an FBS institution behind the legendary Willie Jeffries. Okay, so we've had him on the show before, but he really talks football. If you really listen to him, he really talks football, knows the personnel. And it's not just about the X's and O's. Like, that's the thing about it. He's building a football program. And the program that Marshall has is excellent. Now, it's going to be a tough deal against Lafayette, University of Louisiana Lafayette. It's got a really, really good program. Is a 10-win team. So you know that the Raging Cajuns are ready to rock and roll for this football game. And you know, I mean, Sun Belt football is good. It's good, solid football. I was impressed by the game. And by the way, speaking of HBCU, well, not grads, but alums. So Jerry Mack, as you all would remember if you listened to this program for any number of years, if you follow HBCU football, you would remember Jerry Mack as being the head football coach at North Carolina Central for, I forget how many years, maybe 5 years or so, won a couple of MEAC championships and won it outright in 2016, going undefeated in conference play. Well, he was the running backs coach at Tennessee, left Tennessee to become the running backs coach at Jacksonville with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and this week accepted the job as the head football coach at Kennesaw State. Kennesaw State, FBS program. Kennesaw State, not that long ago, was an FCS program, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. As a matter of fact, Kennesaw State started football maybe in the last 20 years or so, and now it's gotten to the FBS level. And by the way, I mean, Kennesaw State is another solid. It's a good place to play. Solid facility, good fan support. That's the one thing that really impressed me. I went to Kennesaw State about 3 years ago, and that's what impressed me, the fan support there at Kennesaw State. But now Jerry Mack is the new head football coach there at Kennesaw State. Now, he is an Arkansas State grad, but for two semesters, one whole year, and out of high school, as a matter of fact, originally signed to play football at Jackson State. So he spent a year, two semesters at Jackson State. So you've got, in essence, an HBCU alum that is now the head football coach at Kennesaw State. So congratulations to Jerry Mack. Look, got a lot going on, as I mentioned. Gonna give my grades to some of the teams today. And, of course, you can visit our website at BoxToRow.com and listen to or look at the grades I've given. And then I'm going to tell you why I've given some of the grades that I've in fact given. Look, last week, had a chance to watch a lot of college football. You know, I had a chance to watch that Bayou Classic. It was a sloppy football game. I mean, I got to be honest with you. It was a sloppy football game. You know, Southern is able to pull it out. It didn't matter because it was the matchup in the SWAC championship game. As a matter of fact, this Saturday in Jackson, Mississippi, between Jackson State and Southern, it's going to be a good one. I mean, you're talking about maybe the two best fan bases in specifically when it comes to traveling for HBCU football. So I think this year, again, Jackson State led FCS in attendance. I can't remember what the number is. I think it's 29,000 on average, something like that. But you know Southern's going to travel. So, what, maybe somewhere between 38,000 to 42,000, I would imagine, would be at this football game. I think Southern has got some work to do, just based upon what I saw in the game against Grambling. Now, Grambling's not a slouch. Grambling didn't have the season that it wanted to have, no doubt about that. But Grambling's not a slouch. But I just thought, and look, Grambling beat Jackson State earlier in the year. I think when you get at this time of year, I think Southern is playing some really good football. But look, Jackson State has been very, very good. I think the only blemish on Jackson State's record would be the loss against Grambling, which was a non-conference game. So even though it was a loss, and Grambling handed it to Jackson State pretty good, but it was a non-conference game, so Jackson State runs pretty much roughshod through the SWAC. And I'll tell you what, that's going to be a good football game. Of course, it's been some time since Jackson State has played. Southern has played more recently. How do you look at that? Do you look at it as, okay, Jackson State has a chance to heal? Meanwhile, Southern just played last week, but I like sort of the continuity of things. But, I think Jackson State wins that football game. And in the game in Atlanta, the Celebration Bowl, we're going to see Jackson State taking on South Carolina State. So I want to talk report cards today on the program. I want to talk more college football, especially as it relates to the college football playoff. We're going to step aside, take a break. Thank you for making Box to Row a part of your day. We're coming right back.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-811-3471.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
Box to Box Row. To
Box to Row.
Box to Row.
Still to come here on Box to Row, it's report card day. So I've given grades to all of the HBCU teams, and you can visit BoxToRow.com to look at the grades that I've given. This is something we've been doing here at Box to Row 15 years or so. I'm going to talk about some of the programs and the reason I gave the various grades, and I'd love to hear feedback from you all. Again, visit BoxToRow.com. You can take a look at the grades. Also listen to what I have to say. Would love feedback. Feedback, of course, on X at Box to Row, B-O-X-T TORROW. A lot of changes when you're talking about head coaching changes at the HBCU level. Okay, you've got Mississippi Valley State looking for a new head football coach. You've got Shaw looking for a new head football coach. North Carolina A&T is looking for a new head football coach. Delaware State is looking for a new head football coach. There are many others, Prairie View A&M, et cetera. I think one of the interesting things for me about some of the coaching changes, and in particular at Prairie View A&M, this is a program now. I thought Bubba McDowell, 3 years in, I thought Bubba McDowell was doing a pretty good job. Was it the season that the Panthers wanted to have in 2024? No, a 5-7 season, definitely not a good season, all right? But you look at the first season, a share of the SWAC Western Division Championship in 2022. The second season went to the SWAC Championship game, meaning that the Panthers won again. Okay, this time outright winning the SWAC championship or the SWAC Western Division championship, went up against Florida A&M, who eventually won the HBCU national championship, and then you had the 5-7 season this year. So I look at it. Okay, I get it. It's a business, and in the business of college football, most places now, especially at the Division I level, certainly at the FBS, the more so Power Five, then maybe Group of Five, then FCS, and then Division II, maybe in that order in terms of the priority of wins and losses. I get it. And if you look strictly at the wins and losses, you could say, okay, in a three-year span, Bubba McDowell went 17-18. 6-5 his first year, 6-6 in 2023, and 5-7 this year. But I would also ask the question, because I'm not privy to the contract. When he initially came into PV, was it a three-year deal? And at the end of the three-year deal, maybe the administration, athletic director, maybe perhaps didn't feel like it was moving in the right direction. I'm not 100% sure about the contract. But, if you're looking strictly at the wins and the losses, which this is a wins and losses business, I got it. But at the same time, it takes time to build a program in a lot of respects. And I would ask the question, where was Prairie View A&M before Bubba McDowell came? I mean, if I recall, wasn't a great program, even when Willie Simmons was the head coach. Now, Willie Simmons was winning some games, if I remember, had an 8-win season, had a 7-win season, had some good wins, was building a program before he left to go to Florida A&M, which at that time when he left, Florida A&M was in the MEAC. Of course, he comes over, Florida A&M comes to the SWAC and wins the national championship last year. So he was building a program, no doubt about it. But in the interim between Bubba McDowell and Willie Simmons, I don't recall Prairie View A&M being a program that was challenging for the SWAC. Now, I don't want to say a good program, but I want to say challenging. We talk about wins and losses. Challenging for a SWAC championship or, at the minimum, a SWAC Western Division crown. That said, it takes time to build a program, okay? I get it. Wins and losses is great. But when you're 17-18 in a three-year span in a program that, I mean, look, even Willie Simmons didn't make it to SWAC championship games, okay? I think the last time Prairie View A&M was really, I mean, you got to go back to, when Henry Frazier was the coach, when Prairie View A&M won the SWAC. That was maybe 2008? Maybe like 2009 or 2010, something like that. I mean, you got to go way back to when Prairie View A&M had even won a championship. So I think when you have a coach that, okay, you hit a bump in the road at 5-7. I got it. That's going to happen. sometime. You're gonna have bumps in the road where it's not gonna go the way that you want it to go. And you know, I look at the schedule. I mean, I think, you know, it didn't start out great losing to Texas Southern. I mean, that's a rivalry game. You never want to lose that game. Maybe that's the game. Maybe if you win that game, maybe if you won that game, you're 6-6 now. We're having a different conversation. I don't know, because it's a rivalry game. I mean, I don't know if it's as big as, you know, Grambling. Well, it's not as big as Grambling and Southern, but I mean, in some minds, particularly there in the Houston area amongst Texas Southern and Prairie View A&M people, it may be. But bounces back next week with a good win against Northwestern State. Look, you know, a tough loss to Southern, who, and a matter of fact, an overtime loss to Southern, who is going, who won the West. Okay, you know, you beat Grambling. That you know, you expect that. Grambling didn't have necessarily a great season, and I get it. A loss to Arkansas Pine Bluff, I mean, probably unacceptable. But look, I mean, we can nitpick through. I mean, a good win against Florida A&M. Like, there's nothing egregious there. Now, again, I don't know all of the particulars of the contract. Maybe it was in the last year of his contract. He had a 3-year deal. They wanted to renegotiate. And I'm not privy to the contract information, okay? Maybe it was a 3-year deal. He goes in, he says, hey, we want to renegotiate a new contract. He wants more than they're willing to give him. Maybe that, I don't know. Maybe there's a lot of factors that could go into why you make a coaching decision like this. Now, some others, you know, I mean, the wins and losses just aren't there. I got it. But 17-18 in 3 years trying to build a program with an outright SWAC Western Division championship, outright, and sharing a title, and then a down 5-7 season, you know, and again, maybe because the expectations were so high coming in right away, winning a share of the Western Division title, then playing in the SWAC championship game, and then you're thinking, okay, we're going up, and then maybe not so much. Does that warrant a coach getting fired? And I'm not just talking about Prairie View A&M. Again, there may have been other factors involved, but I'm just in part speaking about the state of college football and where things are and trying to build a program. Again, it wasn't like Prairie View A&M went 0-12 or even 3-9. Okay, it went 5-7. It was 2 games under 500, a win maybe against Texas Southern or another team. Now you're talking about a 6-6 record. All right, that's where I am with it. That said, it's the decision that Prairie View A&M made. And look, again, coaching vacancies around HBCU football, not something that this many. Okay, there are 8, if I'm counting correctly. There, you know, I just haven't seen this many coaching vacancies in a while. It's been a while. Now, every now and again, that's the ebbs and flows, though. Every now and again, you'll see this. I think maybe going back, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, you sort of saw where there were, you know, these many coaching vacancies. And so now, okay, Prairie View A&M, who are you going to go out and get now? I thought Bubba McDowell was doing a solid job, you know, from an outside looking in perspective. Now, I'm not involved in the Prairie View A&M program. I don't have any inside information. So I'm just talking, generally speaking, observing HBCU football, observing the SWAC, observing Prairie View A&M from an outsider's perspective. Maybe not privy to some of the inner workings, and perhaps those are some of the reasons why Bubba McDowell was that was you know, the others you can look at. You know, I never like to see coaches lose their jobs. Okay, I never like to see it, but it's a part of the business you're in college football. It's a part of life when the boss doesn't think that you're doing a good enough job, that's going to, it's going to happen. Whether it's college football, whether you're working a 9-to-5, whatever the, whether you're a CEO, that's what happens a lot of times. All I'm saying is, I think sometimes, you know, now if we were at a one game under 500 mark after 5 years, that makes a little bit more sense to me. But after 3 years with two Western Division crowns, I don't, you know, that's tough. But again, Prairie View A&M's got to make the decision that it has to make. Let me really quickly, because in the next segment, I got a little bit of time in this segment. Then the next segment, I'll spend a little bit more time on these report cards. Well, let me just run down the SIAC really quickly. And then in the next segment, we'll talk about not only the SIAC, but CIAA, SWAC, MEAT, etc. in terms of some of the grades I gave. Okay, Albany State C, Allen D minus, Benedict D, Central State D minus, Clark Atlanta B plus, Edward Waters D, Fort Valley State C, Kentucky State C, Lane C minus, Miles A, Morehouse D minus, Savannah State C, and Tuskegee C minus. Those are my grades for the teams in the SIAC. I gave no failing grades to any teams because there are no failures. Okay, we'll step aside, take a break, come back. I'm going to break down a couple of the teams in the SIAC and why I gave the grades that I gave. And of course, we'll look at some of the other teams as well. Keep it locked to Box to Row.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
Here with Stephen Curry, your progress from Davidson to now with Golden State.
Where I've come from in high school into a small D1 college at Davidson. And it's a great story, and I'm just having fun, you know, living my dream and riding the ride.
Main event, Jey Uso joining us here. Could there be a possible return to the bloodline?
For me?
Yes. At some point.
I'm gone, D. Hey, I threw the deuces up before. I'll do it again, man.
Come on, main event. That's family, man. I mean, I'm not talking about now. I get it. But down the line, like, come on.
Hey, D, you see how they be treating me, man? Come on, man. That something. It be your own family sometimes be doing you wrong, Lou. I gotta go, man. Hey, I'm doing all right by myself.
She's Simone Biles.
Actually, really fun. Like, to be honest, had a lot of fun. We were like, oh, of course, like, we're in the best shape of our life. We're feeling confident about our body, and we hope that other young girls and women, like, feel that being strong is still beautiful.
The one and only Michael Strahan, and cannot have you on without talking about Texas Southern. Cannot. So, how did you ultimately end up at Texas Southern?
Yeah, from Houston, grew up in Germany. When I was a senior in high school, my dad said, I'm going to send you to stay with your uncle in Houston and get a football scholarship. So I went to Houston. I played at Westbury High School for 1 year. Texas Southern was probably the only school that saw me play, being right there in Houston and being a local boy. And Coach Walter Highsmith, I went over to see him, and he offered me a scholarship. It was perfect for me, man, to go to the HBCU, to go to Texas Southern. The size of the school, the education they gave me, not just in the classroom, but about life. I would have been swallowed up at another school. I wouldn't have felt as if I really could have made a difference or had a real purpose of being there. But at Texas Southern, I always felt like I could make a difference and I had a purpose.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Skylar Diggins of the WNBA. Thank you for having me. I'm excited. You know, just been able to work a lot on my body and my shape, and a lot of things that I feel like I needed to work on in the off season, was able to get that done, and you know, it's showing.
Snoop Dogg is on the mic. Pay attention.
I appreciate the love that I get, and I appreciate the sport of hip hop, and it's giving me back that same love in return. You know, for the amount of years that I've been doing it, I've always went into it with the same, you know, spirit of I make music for the people. I make it go for them, and I always make them a part of it. And I never separated myself and tried to be a star. I've always wanted to be one of the people that you can look to as somebody that was, you know, like your uncle, because of the way that I treat people. And I feel like my career is representative of that. That's why the longevity is there. That's why the love is there. And that's why I maintain the status of, you know, being relevant for so many years.
I'm talking about none other than Serena Williams.
That was definitely one of the better matches I've ever played. I've had it just like that. You know, I was really focused. Just really, you know, excited.
Demetrius Flannery, a.k.a. Lil Meach.
Shit, in Atlanta. told me that he was going to move me from my hometown, Miami, to L.A., put me in acting classes, and I had to go 5 days a week, two times a day. Only had about a year and a half, but once I started, I didn't want to stop, you know, so once it's a lifetime opportunity, I didn't want to watch somebody else, you know, get the role of playing my father and me having to watch him on TV. Opportunity passed me by, so I just buckled down and was focused, man. Put everything to the side and made sure that my number one thing that I wanted to do was focus on being the best possible actor I can be for the show. And that's how it happened, man.
That is the voice of Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm just, you know, trying to get better every single day. We've been through a lot as a team, and I enjoy playing with a great group of guys. So, you know, I'm just trying to enjoy every moment of it.
That is the voice of Common. You went to Florida A&M.
Oh, FAMU days were some of the best days of my life. I mean, I had so much fun there. It was like invigorating. It was an introduction to a new aspect of culture in the world. I mean, the Southern girls was just incredible. you know, the food was great. The black college experience, you can't beat that.
Kyrie Irving.
Playing at Duke for Coach K. What was that like and how that prepared you for the league now?
Playing 11 games, you know, a lot of people think that's not a big package for you to become a better player. But for me, it was. Playing for Coach K, he gave me the keys to the car, and I was driving it in first 8 games. And, you know, being a part of something special like that and having a brotherhood built at an institution such as that one is an experience that you never forget.
Ice Cube has been our guest.
Hey, man, thanks for letting me talk a little music, movies, and sports. Hey, my favorite 3 topics.
Hey, y'all. It is the EST of WWE, the strongest, the fastest, the roughest, the toughest, the quickest, the greatest, the best on Box to Row. Tune in if you want to catch the best BEST interview ever.
From the Press Box to Press Row is the sports talk show that is the voice and the talk of HBCU sports, with a flair for pro sports talk and entertainment. Check the show out online at BoxToRow.com.
That's Box to Row, real, relevant radio. Looking at some of the report card grades I've given to the teams from the HBCU, HBCU is going to really break it down. You know, As I really look at this list, there are not a lot of A's and B's throughout the list. And to me, that shows that over the course of the landscape of HBCU football this year, it was pretty much feast or famine. You heard the grades that I gave to the SIAC. Only Clark Atlanta and Miles received A's or B's. Everybody else received lesser grades, okay? And you could understand why I would have given Miles an A. SIAC champions, you know, you talk about stellar defenses, one of the best corners or one of the best defensive backs in the country in LaShawn Young. He had, I think, 7 or 8 interceptions, was named to the HBCU All-Americans. As a matter of fact, he was tied for the highest vote getter amongst defensive backs. We had a chance to catch it with Sam Shade a couple of weeks ago, right prior to the SIAC championship game with Miles taking on Clark Atlanta. And then, of course, winning a first round game in the Division II playoffs before bowing out last week. You could understand, okay, why Miles got an A. You know, Clark Atlanta, I was giving Clark Atlanta a B in the beginning, B as in boy, and then I bumped it up to a B+. And the reason is this. Look, Clark Atlanta, for the last several years, has struggled to win 1 or 2 football games. Sometimes, maybe 1 year, perhaps 2, had some seasons where Clark Atlanta had zero wins. Okay, you go from that and what Clark did last, I can't remember if it's 1 win or 0 wins, to an 8, to a season where it was, what, 7-3-1. A 7-3-1 season playing in the SIAC championship game. And, you know, that was obviously a huge, huge turnaround for Clark Atlanta. You could understand why it would have been such a huge turnaround for the Panthers. You know, one of the reasons being because of David Wright. I mean, David Wright, the quarterback, was absolutely, I mean, he was great. Now, David Wright is a gunslinger. Okay, he's going to be a guy that feast or famine. Look at his numbers. 31 touchdowns. That's outstanding. 15 picks on the season. But he was a really big reason. And then it really, from a player perspective, but it really began with Teddy Keaton. Remember Teddy Keaton? I've known Teddy Keaton for many, many years. Look, Teddy Keaton did some really good things when Stillman was in the SIAC. He was on the verge of winning and came close to winning or being able to participate in the, well, winning, because the SIAC championship game first year was 2011. So prior to that, it was just the ranking, more or less, based upon where you finished. And look, I tell you, Teddy Keaton was doing some really good things over at Stillman when Stillman was in the SIAC. Comes to Allen, builds a program. Allen was 7-3 last year. David Wright, David Wright, along with some other players, transferred with him over to Clark Atlanta. And then you got a Clark Atlanta program that wins, that plays in the SIA. Who would have ever thought that you would have said Clark Atlanta will play in the SIAC championship game? You can't, right? And so he comes in, turns that program around. The whole mindset changes because really Clark Atlanta and Morehouse were your two Atlanta schools struggling mightily. Okay, Clark Atlanta turned around by Teddy Keaton, brings some players over from Allen, and you have a situation where Clark Atlanta, to me, had a phenomenal season and could have possibly have made the playoffs. Two of its three losses were to Miles. Two of its three losses were to Miles. Remember, there was a time when Clark was like 5-0 and 1 or 6-0 and 1, that Clark was undefeated at one time. So a phenomenal season for Clark Atlanta. And part of the reason, some of the grades I gave, it required a signature win. So if you had a signature win, that would kind of bump your grade up, you know, a little bit. But look, Clark Atlanta had a really, really good season. And those are the teams from the SIAC that I'm going to preview. Let's look at the CIAA. Obviously, Virginia Union. And see, CIAA, this was the conference. So again, in the SIAC, I only gave an A and a B to two teams. In the CIAA, I gave an A or a B to four different teams. Okay. Look, Johnson C. Smith, let me start with Johnson C. Smith. You know, Maurice Flowers has done a tremendous job. There were some expectations, I think, for the Golden Bulls that you hadn't seen in many years. Maurice Flowers is the right man for that job for a number of different reasons. One, he's a Johnson C. Smith grad and played very well when he was a player. Not only played football, but played basketball at Johnson C. Smith. Number two, he's a Charlotte native. So those two things go together. Also, when you look at expectations for this year, remember, Johnson C. Smith played in the bowl game, played in that bowl game last year in Miami, in the Miami area last year. So a lot of expectations. Boy, Johnson C. Smith got off to that 8-0 start, and you're thinking, wow, got to win one of two. All Johnson C. Smith had to do was win one of two and would have been in the championship game of the CIAA and couldn't get it done. You know, losing to Fayetteville, got blown out by Fayetteville State. Okay, and that's fine. I mean, Fayetteville State didn't have a great season at all this year, especially not up to the standards we've seen, because remember, Fayetteville State had played in so many straight championship games and won a championship along the way. So a down season for Fayetteville State, but then lost to Livingstone. Now, no shame to losing to Livingstone. Livingstone had either it was like a 7-3 or 6-4 season. So, I mean, it was a solid season, I thought, for Livingstone also this year, who I actually gave Livingstone a C+. I mean, I thought it was a 6-4 season, a C+ to Livingstone. But, man, Johnson C. Smith really faltered at the end, and I know that's going to leave a taste in Coach Flowers' mouth, also some of his players coming in to next season to kind of get back to where to get to that CIAA championship game. I'm going to tell you who I thought had perhaps, and look, Virginia State, I gave a B to, right? I thought Virginia State had a really, really good season. No doubt about that. Played in the CIAA championship game. We know what Virginia Union is doing. Virginia Union is in the quarterfinals, going to play in the at Valdosta State on Saturday. Okay, we haven't had a team to make it to the quarterfinals of any NCAA playoffs since Winston-Salem State made it all the way to the national championship game, Division II national championship game in 2012. The team, so we know what Virginia Union is, best player, maybe the best player in HBCU football in Jada Byers, running back. He's on the cusp of 2,000 yards rushing this season. Winston-Salem State had a really, really good season. Okay, close overtime loss to A&T. Probably a game on the road, I might add. Probably a game that Winston could have won. Also beat Virginia State, right? One of the losses was to Virginia Union. Okay, we know what Virginia Union is. And the other loss was to Johnson C. Smith. This was a really, really good season. I thought Robert Massey did a tremendous job. And that's what I mean when I say sometimes it takes time. And look, I know a lot of Winston-Salem State fans aren't going to necessarily agree with this, but, you know, Robert Massey had been there for quite some time. The winning wasn't coming. I got it. But sometimes when you stick with a guy, because to me, you could see it coming last year. I think the Rams were 5-5 last year, going, what, maybe 4-6 the year before. So it had been some incremental improvement, okay, to the point where, and think about this, if the CIAA still had the divisions, then Winston would not have played because it would have lost to Johnson C. Smith. Either way, a 7-3 season, it's why sometimes you stick with a guy. And, you know, he's got a tremendous quarterback, you know, that I thought had a good season, had a really, really good freshman season, had a good season this past year, a good defense, some big guys up front, some skilled players in the secondary, a guy like a Justin Fleming. Man, I mean, I really thought that Winston-Salem State had a really, really good season. Let's move on to the SWAC. Okay, much like the SIAC, only two grades that were A's and B's in the SWAC. Everybody else got a lower grade, and that was Jackson State. Jackson State obviously playing this weekend in the SWAC championship game against Southern, and then Southern. Everybody else, you know, now Florida A&M defending champs. You know, I thought Florida A&M, all things considered, new coach, all of those kind of things, I thought Florida A&M had a good season. And I actually gave Florida A&M a C+. You know, but again, I thought Florida A&M had and could have been a B-. But I thought FAMU had a solid season. But look, you see what Jackson State is doing, right? Undefeated in the SWAC. Number one in HBCU football. I think T.C. Taylor is doing a great job. He's going to be in the running for HBCU National Coach of the Year. And by the way, the superlatives come out next week. And you can find those. They come out next Tuesday. You can find those on BoxToRow.com. You've got Coach of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year, Willie Davis Defensive Player of the Year, Special Teams Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, and the BoxToRow Impact Award winner. But look, you've got Irv Mulligan. You know, he's got Morgan at the quarterback. They've got a solid defense. And as I said earlier, I mean, I think this is a Jackson State team that's going to beat Southern to represent the SWAC in the Celebration Bowl next week. So look, it was a good season. And look, I think Southern's had a really good season. And Southern people will tell you that they are the underdogs. They feel like they're the underdogs. I mean, you know, 8-4 has won four straight games. Okay. Now, did lose to Jackson State earlier in the season, so this is a rematch. You know, I think Jackson State's had a solid season. I think the win over Alcorn State was a good win. It's been Southern. But you know, a loss to Florida A&M, I mean, there's some buts to me, right? Like a loss to Jackson State, okay? I was not impressed with the, you know, 5 overtime win against Bethune-Cookman. That's not great if you're Southern. Was not impressed with Southern in the win against Grambling. I get it. It's a rivalry game. It's the Bayou Classic. Was not impressed at all. It's not to say that Southern didn't have a good season, because I thought Southern did have a good season, and thus I gave Southern a B. And then in the MEAC, I gave North Carolina Central a B-. And South Carolina State an A. Obviously, South Carolina State is rocking and rolling, doing very, very well. Now, I'll tell you one team that I was impressed with, Hampton. I thought Hampton, look, Hampton was 6-6 in a tough CAA, won some decent ball games, played against some really good, like, lost. Villanova is one of the better teams in the country, lost to Villanova by 6 points, had a chance to maybe win that game. You know, I think that Hampton is coming, and actually gave Hampton a C-plus on the season. I thought Hampton did a tremendous job, and I think Hampton is a program that is definitely on the rise. I've got more report card talk on the other side.
Home sales are down 31% across America, and mortgage rates are on the rise. If your home is not selling, you need to call our experts right now at the Quick Cash Hotline. We have investors ready to pay you cash for your property, regardless of the condition it's in. Most of our closings can happen in about 7 days. You don't have to worry about a buyer getting approved. You don't have to worry about showing your home. One simple call right now. Just pick up the phone and call us. I'll give you the number in a second. We will negotiate with you a price to buy your home. It's that simple. If you're ready to sell your home right now, any home, any condition, and you don't want to put money into it, no problem. We'll buy it from you. Call right now. It's a free call.
800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. That's 800-470-7113.
It's Donald Ware from the Press Box to Press Row.
Welcome back to Box to Row. You can join here on the conversation. Hit us up via X at Box to Row, BOXTOROW, talking report cards, giving grades to the HBCU programs, talking about that in the last segment and part of the previous segment to that. And again, if you've missed the report cards, I didn't give all of the grades. I only highlighted a couple of the schools, but you can visit BoxToRow.com to check out the full list of the grades. And you can always go back and listen to this program if you missed it at BoxToRow, BOXTOROW. I want to talk some college football playoff because this is the first year of the expansion to 12 teams. Aligns right with all of the moves you saw with the various conference realignments, to the point that we went from a Power Five conferences to now Power Four, eliminated a whole conference. And so that's where we are. And I thought, and of course, the final rankings are going to come out on Sunday. You've got various championship games that are going to take place on Saturday as well. As I looked at this last ranking, to me, the odd man out should be, okay, you've got so many things that can happen here. Like, you've got Clemson and SMU playing for the ACC championship. To me, SMU should be in, regardless of what happens in the ACC championship. By the way, let me tell you this, a lot of these rankings, because see, there are a lot of people that don't follow HBCU football or don't follow, you know, small college football or what have you, and strictly follow major college football, which is fine. But a lot of the principles, or some of the principles of what we'll see with the college football playoff, are based upon a term known as earned access. So what earned access looked like at the Division II level, and this was specifically at the Division II level. Okay, if there was a conference in a particular region, and this was going back in the day, and I don't know, it may have changed, but when I was really studying this, if you had a team, the top eight teams got in to the playoff at the Division II level. If you had a team that was in the top, I can't remember if it was 10 or 12, either top 10 or 12, and one of those conferences was not represented, then if there was a team from a conference. Now, in other words, like if I'm in the CIAA and I'm in the SIAC and I'm in a respective respective region, okay, just because the conference champion isn't guaranteed a spot in the Division II playoff. Same thing here with the college football playoff. The conference champion isn't guaranteed a spot. Now the power four teams are guaranteed a spot, and then also the top ranked group of five team is guaranteed a spot in the college football playoff, but not necessarily the champion. Okay, so what would happen if at the division, going back to the Division II level, in that particular instance, if that would happen, then if there was a team that was ranked either in the top 10 or top 12, that team would move up automatically into the top 8 and it would bump another team out. Well, you know, this is going to happen. A scenario here that this is going to happen. And I look at the top 5, Oregon, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame, Georgia. By the way, Notre Dame's made a nice rebound to come all the way back from that opening loss of the season to Northern Illinois. I don't know that the Fighting Irish schedule, right, is like a great schedule. And I'm not here to argue whether it's a great schedule or not. What I will say is that to come back, and by the way, Notre Dame, it was the second game of the season because Notre Dame did beat Texas A&M, which, you know, over the course of the season, that looks like a pretty good win. I'm looking at Notre Dame's schedule real quick. I mean, Purdue, you know, Miami of Ohio, Louisville maybe at the time because Louisville was ranked at one time. Stanford, that's not a great win. That's not a good win. Georgia Tech, I mean, you could argue because Georgia Tech's actually not bad. Navy at one time. So, no, it's no doubt that Notre Dame belongs in this college football playoff, right? Georgia belongs there. Doesn't matter whatever happens in the SEC championship game. It really, really doesn't matter. You know, I think Georgia has earned the right to be in the college football playoff. So, you know, saying all of that, I'm looking at some of the teams and I'm saying, does Indiana really belong in the college football playoff, right? Look at Indiana's schedule, okay? You can't even really point to any great wins, right? Like, okay, FIU, Western Illinois, UCLA, Charlotte, Maryland, Northwestern, Nebraska, Washington. Like, none of those wins are good per se. Michigan State loses one game to Ohio State, okay, which, you know, I mean, we know Ohio, I mean, you know, and that was just a bad loss by Ohio State last week to Michigan. But again, that's a rivalry game, although Indiana did beat Michigan. That's not that is not a good schedule. And I get it. Indiana built up because there's two things helping Indiana. It's part of the Big Ten, and it had built all the way up to like, what, an 8-0, 9-0 schedule, lost a game, and then, you know, on the back end, blew Purdue out, only one loss. But still's not going to even participate in the Big Ten championship game, right? So, to me, Indiana would be a team that I could see would be on the outside looking in. Miami right now sits at number 12. Miami's not even playing in the ACC championship game. It's SMU and Clemson. To me, there's no way in the world. And again, going back to that earned access scenario that I gave, this is the other thing. Championship games, and I've seen this up close at the division. And again, I'm looking at the Division II level because, again, some of the principles I believe from division NCAA Division II football have been applied here to the college football playoff with respect to what is in essence earned access. You could have a championship game and it could help you, but not necessarily hurt you. And sometimes it could hurt. It could help or hurt you. It depends upon the situation. Well, you've got some similar scenarios here with the college football playoff. Miami's 12 right now. Miami, I just don't think Miami, you know, that's Syracuse has won 9 games this year. I give Syracuse a lot of credit for winning 9 games this year. Miami had, and again, it was on the road against Syracuse. Miami had no business losing to Syracuse. That loss to me excludes Miami from the championship game. Matter of fact, or from the playoff. I would put South Carolina over Miami. I would. Just based upon, I think, the season that South Carolina has had. Okay, I know that may not be popular, but that's what I would do, right? I don't think Indiana belongs. SMU belongs, regardless. And this is the thing. Regardless of what happens against Clemson in the ACC championship game, SMU belongs in this playoff. I looked at what SMU has done this year, and SMU has had a really, really, really good season. You know, remember, coming from the Group of Five, where it was the AAC champion last year. So it was no surprise to me that SMU would come into the ACC and wreck shop, and that is what SMU is doing. And by the way, can I make another argument going back to Indiana? Indiana didn't even play Penn State this year. Like, Indiana didn't even play some of the better teams. Like, to me, if there's a team that's going to be out of this thing, it would be Indiana, okay, and Miami. I don't think, I mean, I guess anything's possible. You know, that's just a bad loss. Miami losing to Syracuse. Like, all you had to do was win because you're already in the ACC, which isn't the greatest conference, okay? And you couldn't even beat Syracuse. Like, that should automatically exclude. I think this is just, for lack of a better word, posturing, if you will, with respect to this particular, these particular seedings. The seeding, this is the seeding that a lot of times to me matters the least of all the seedings. The first and second seedings matter a lot. Subsequent ones, this one not so much, because you've got all of these championship games and all of these different scenarios. You still got, you know, you still have, you know, the Group of Five situation with some teams, you know, you got to get a team in, right, based upon, again, going back to the earned access situation. So look, if it were me, Miami wouldn't be in, Indiana wouldn't be in. Tennessee's earned the right. All of these, you know, Georgia certainly's earned the right. You know, Penn State, some would argue Penn State seeded number 3. Penn State is seeded number 3 at 11-1, not playing in a game this weekend or a championship game. Nowhere in the world Penn State's going to drop out, okay? Can forget about that. You know, does Alabama belong in? Signature win against Georgia. Hey, whatever you want to say about Alabama, some of the losses, bad old, lost to Ole Miss, lost to Vanderbilt, you know, who had Commodores had a good season, by the way. I mean, still, that's not, if you're Alabama, that's not a game you should lose. That said, still give Vandy some credit. But I believe Alabama should be in. But for me, the odd man out would be Miami and Indiana. Your thoughts as we take this off air, hit me up on X at BoxToRow, BoxToRow, and follow us while you're there. My time is about up. I thank you for yours. For the HBCU All-America team, you can visit BoxToRow.com. Share your thoughts about the HBCU All-America team, and also the Superlative Awards will come out next week. If you missed any of our shows, visit BoxToRow.com to catch up. And always remember to support those that support you. Box to Row is produced by DW Communications.